We have a few slides today. A doorway is a very simple thing, an opening from one to another, the passage from one place to the next, from one state of being to another. We can have the next one. From outside to inside, from here to there, from danger to safety, from cold to warm. Passing through that can determine who we are. So stepping through a doorway or across a threshold, we can have the next one, can define how we change how we define ourselves. How many of us, for example, become children again when walking through the door to our parents' home? Crossing that threshold from one side of the door to another can change a person to an employee or a servant. From one side of a door to another, I can become a patient. The first time a child walks through the door of a high school, they know themselves that they are not any longer a child. Doorways are mythic. We can have the next slide. They are important. They have the power to change us from one thing to another thing, to literally change our state of being. Doorways are immensely powerful. The Latin word for threshold is limen. So there's an idea, mythical, magical, philosophical, psychological idea that has been around for a very long time. It's called liminal. It's the state of standing in the midst of a doorway, neither in nor out, in the state of transition between. And it's an idea that was common in the rituals of ancient times that we still carry. The idea that in the midst of a ritual, you are part of two worlds, but outside of both. In the midst of a ceremony to ordain a priest or a minister, there is a point where you enter the sanctuary when you are no longer a layperson and not yet a priest. A point in the rituals of adulthood when you are no longer child and not yet adult. A citizenship ceremony where you are between two identities. Rituals are a kind of doorway. We have rituals that change us and rituals that acknowledge change. Ritual of marriage that we call a wedding changes us in the eyes of the community and in our own eyes. A funeral ritual acknowledges that the world has changed for us and perhaps our role in it has changed. Both of these offer a space to see behind what we usually see, to go behind the wilderness for a few minutes into a place of seeing. And we say we are in a liminal space. For thousands of years, people have recognized the mythic nature of doorways because they are so powerful. And so the doorways of cathedrals, and another one, and churches and of monasteries and other places are often very elaborate. We can see another one. Decorated with images. Some of them have multiple stages or archways. In cold climates, like the one I grew up in Winnipeg, there are always two doors to a house. Sometimes even a vestibule, in which you are caught neither in nor out, neither as cold as you were nor as warm as you hope to be. The decorations show you that this is an important step, entering this place, entering this doorway. You don't just move from one place to another, but you yourself may be changed by entering here. It is an invitation, but also a warning. Do you remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? The story says that when Moses was caring for the sheep, he was led behind the wilderness. It's a very strange phrase. He was led behind the wilderness and saw a bush that burned but was not consumed. And he was told, "Take off your shoes, you are standing on holy ground." He had, all unknowing, passed a threshold to a place he didn't know. And by doing so, he was changed forever. He was changed from a shepherd, an escaped murderer, former son of Pharaoh's daughter, to a prophet, a leader, a carrier of God's message, the reluctant leader of an entire people. He came with a very simple responsibility: get the sheep some grass, bring them home again. And when he left, he carried the fate of a nation on his shoulders. To encounter that kind of experience, to encounter the glory of God, is a fearsome thing. To cross into the space behind the wilderness can change you beyond your recognition. The next years for Moses and his people were a wild series of entries and exits. Can we see the next slide? Of passageways and passages. Moses re-entered the gates of Egypt and the doors of the palace to demand that Pharaoh let the people go. And when Pharaoh refused the Israelites that opportunity, they retreated behind their doorways, and they marked the doorways with lamb's blood, the symbol of sacrifice, so that the spirit of death could pass over their homes. And when that terrible night was over, they took their families and they left through the gates of Egypt. And on passing across those gateways, they changed from slaves to freemen, from servants to very confused wanderers. God made a passageway for them through the sea, and they emerged on the other side, a chosen people. And it says, a stiff-necked, stubborn, and difficult people. And after years, Moses once again went behind the wilderness, because they had come to a mountain and it was shaken with quakes and fire and thunder peals from above, and the people were warned not even to touch the mountain in case they should die. And Moses alone climbed the mountain and spoke to God. And he stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was given the Ten Commandments, detailed laws as well. But when he came down the shaking mountain with great tablets of stone, he found that the people had thought he was dead. And without his leadership, they thought they'd been abandoned by God. And they melted down their gold and they made something to worship, a bull to symbolize the gods they had left behind in Egypt. And they worshiped that. And then terrible things happened. Moses dropped those tablets and called the people to return to the worship God, and they fought one another. And those fathers were killed. They killed their sons. Brothers killed one another. And when it was all over and the people were exhausted and dispirited, Moses dragged himself back to the gateway on the mountain and called out, "What shall we do?" And God told him that they should leave that place and go to the land where God would send them, flowing with milk and honey. And here's an interesting part, because then they have an argument. This doorway in which Moses stands is a space between our world and God's, is a place of many wonders, and it is a place where you can argue with God. Because God says, "I'm not going with you. Because if I do, I might consume you, because these are a stiff-necked people." Now, if that's confusing to you, don't worry. It's confusing to scholars. And they argue about it, about whether or not God is just being pissy, frankly, or whether he is concerned for their safety. There's a warning here that the immediate presence of God is too much for these people. Look what's already happened. But Moses argues with God, and eventually God agrees to go with them. But Moses still has to go back through the gateway and down the mountain and leave that place between the worlds and go back to the stiff-necked people. And so he says, show me your glory. God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But you cannot see my face. No one shall see me and live. And the Lord continued, see, there's a place where you should stand in the cleft in the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by, and I will take away my hand, and you will see what is behind. And so Moses stood in the cleft of the rock in the doorway, protected from the glory, and sees the behind of God. Behind the wilderness, a fleeting glimpse of the glory. The next slide. There are only fleeting moments when we can see that hint of the immensity of God, the consuming and refining fire that is too great for us. The great cathedrals were designed as liminal spaces, a place to encounter the glory of God, a place for individuals to enter and be awed, and in that psychological space to enter into a place that is neither in this world nor the next, nor God's. Protestant churches, however, were designed as a place we return to after the encounter, a place to share prayers together, to find ways of living together. Our Protestant forebears saw scripture and prayer as the doorway, not the building. That's why the designs are so different and why both have a place and a role. There is value there. There is value in observing every doorway we stand in to ask ourselves, how does this change me entering here? Who do I become when I pass through this door? And in that very simple way, we give ourselves a moment in the liminal space, the space behind the wilderness, to see surprising, amazing, sometimes glorious things. Stepping across a doorway is not an action to be taken lightly, as simple as it may seem. Amen. And so we're going to sing. Because it is in song that we also have a liminal space, a place between our world and the next.